So we had some homework yesterday. Today we're trying to do at least one thing in the consciousness of trying to please Krishna. So did anybody try that? And if so, what did you do? Yes?
I was a total failure.
So total failure. But you tried.
But I did think, what is my homework? At least let me think this moment. At least let me think.
Okay, at least let me think for Krishna. One moment. Okay, well, that's successful. If one moment of your day you can think for Krishna, that is success. Okay, yes? 50-50, okay. Well, that sounds a little better. 50-50? That's 50%. That's wonderful.
But I'm not so pleased, you know.
No, well, it's not you, it's Krishna. And that's, don't worry about yourself. If we can please Krishna 50% of the time, that's wonderful. Yeah, just keep trying. I mean, you can actually, you only have more homework today, so that you just do this one, you keep trying until next year. And we will see how you do. Okay, anybody else?
I was thinking about Krishna, though it was in the wrong time, driving the car.
Oh, you're driving the car? No, it's a good time to think about Krishna.
Why is it the wrong time? Was I was so much immersed in thinking about Krishna, I did not feel the signal.
Oh, no, you went through the red light.
Oh.
What happened?
Oh.
Oh, I see. You should see the red lights. Yes, we do have to be aware of our surroundings, especially if we are driving. Yes, oh. Anyway, Krishna protected you because you were thinking of him. Yes, okay. Okay. Next time I'll tell you, don't do it while driving. Warning. This could be dangerous while driving. Okay, anybody else? If you actually were thinking of pleasing Krishna, then you would have stopped at the red light. Because I think that would have made him much more happy than if you went through the red light. Because then he has to work double to protect you when you go through the red light. Okay, anybody else try to do something yesterday? That's today. It's today to please Krishna. It was yesterday's homework to do for today. Okay, anybody else try? Well, he was 100% success, but don't imitate what he did. Okay, anybody else?
Yesterday I was thinking about the various types of yajnas.
Yajnas. Oh yeah, that's full of sacrifice,
so
right?
Scrutinizingly reading Bhagavad Gita, good. Hearing Bhagavad Gita.
Good, good. That's very pleasing.
Throwing beans in the fire, which is yajna.
Oh yes.
The underlying principle being that everything is for Krishna, nothing for me.
Right.
That's the underlying principle. That
right.
Every aspect becomes yajna.
Yeah, then your whole life becomes yajna. In fact, the symptom of a sage is that his life is sacrifice. His whole life is sacrifice. His whole life is a yajna. That's a symptom of a sadhu or a sage. That is his life. His life, he sacrifices for others. Sacrifices for others. Okay, anybody else try something? Yes. Anyway, while you're chanting your japa, try to do it for Krishna. Try to do it for his pleasure. Yes. Okay. So Kunti is giving Krishna reasons why he shouldn't leave. Their enemies are still alive, I mean the relatives. At any moment they may come, they may attack. So how can they be safe without Krishna's protection? If Krishna leaves, then now we'll hear some new reasons why Krishna should not leave. Their name, their fame, and will all be useless, just like decorations on a dead body. Because Krishna is everything for them. So let's hear verse 38. Kivara namarupa pyam yarubi sapandava balata darshanam yarhi hirishikanam nileshitu. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished, with the disappearance of the living spirit. Similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. So this is a fact. We discussed this before, that if the Lord would stop glancing at the creation for even a second, then that creation would be finished. It's not just that he glanced at the beginning to start the creation, but he continues to glance, and that glance is required at every step of the creation and maintenance as well. So Kunti has realized this fact, that if they were not able to get Krishna's glance on them, then everything would be useless. She said, you know, they say we Pandavas, my sons are such great warriors, such great heroes. But what is the value of my sons if we are not here? What is our value? We have our fame, we have our name, but without you, it's all useless. So we know what happens to our body at the end of our lives. Three choices. What are the three choices for the body? Stool, or ashes, or? Yeah, then, yes, food for the worms. So, without Krishna, then our body may be very beautiful, but actually it becomes nothing but ashes at the end. Or stool, if it's thrown to the vultures, like the Parsis, they do that. Or it becomes worm food. If you bury it, then it becomes food for the worms. So Srila Prabhupada explains that we have consciousness also. But what is that consciousness? There is no meaning to consciousness without Krishna, actually, because if we didn't have Krishna, we wouldn't have consciousness. So therefore, consciousness means Krishna consciousness. Just like sunshine has no meaning without the word sun. You know what is sunshine because you know the word sun is along with the shine. So the same, the shine is compared to our consciousness. So without Krishna, there's no meaning to consciousness. Because we're all parts of Krishna, just like sunshine is particles of the sun. So Krishna is leaving, and Kunti is lamenting that you'll go, we won't be able to see you. What will be the value of our eyes? What will be the value of our name? In the third chapter of the second canto, it says, without seeing, one who has not seen the form of Krishna, he has eyes like eyes on a peacock feather. We have this peacock feather here of Giriraj, and it has eyes. But what is the value of those eyes? He cannot see. So that is just like when Radharani was born, she was born blind because she didn't want to see anyone but Krishna first. So as soon as Krishna came, then she opened her eyes. As soon as Krishna came and looked over her small baby cradle, then Radharani opened her eyes. Because she understood this point, that without seeing Krishna, what is the value of my eyes? So that goes for everything. Without hearing Krishna, there is no meaning to hearing. Useless. So this is the first point. On this verse 38 and 39, she expands it a bit more. Neyam shabishate tatra yatetanim padadhara tvat padarangita bhati svalakshana vilakshite. O Gadadhara Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. So because Krishna was glancing at the Pandavas, they were beautiful. And because Krishna was glancing at the kingdom was beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada said that if we keep Krishna in the center, if we try, everything will be very opulent. There will be no scarcity. And it's not just that this was when Krishna was here. No, even now, the truth is always the same. If we can bring Krishna into the center of our lives, then our life will be very beautiful. It will have meaning. We'll have purpose to our life. And if we just simply are interested in the opulences of Krishna, we want to enjoy without him, then it becomes one zero, Prabhupada said. your money, your fame, your ability, it's all zero unless Krishna is there. And if you put Krishna, it becomes very valuable. So you might, so if you have so many zeros in your life, and but you just have one Krishna, then everything becomes very wonderful and valuable. So Srila Prabhupada, he tells us a secret, how to keep Krishna always present. Who can tell me, how do we always keep Krishna in the center? There's one very nice process of devotional service that will help us to keep Krishna always here. Yes?
Chanting.
Chanting. Is that what you were going to say? What were you going to say?
Exactly.
Kirtan. Prabhupada said by kirtan, we can keep Krishna always with us by chanting his holy name. And that is said in the Puranas, taptatishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhaktaha. As soon as we chant Krishna's name, Krishna comes. And we, when we chant, Srila Prabhupada said, when we chant the holy name, we should chant and we should beg Krishna, please accept me. Please accept me. And then when we chant very nicely, Krishna comes. And Krishna says to us, please accept me. So he's coming. And the problem is, he comes, but our mind is somewhere else. He makes the phone call, goes through to Goloka Vrindavan. And Krishna answers the phone, yes, what would you like? But unfortunately, our line is busy. The mind is somewhere else. So that is the challenge of our life, to try to chant with attention, hearing the holy name. And then Krishna will come, and then everything will be very nice and wonderful. So Srila Prabhupada made the point that actually Krishna was not leaving the Pandavas, just as he never left Vrindavan. Kunti is very anxious, thinking Krishna is going, but the actual effect of Krishna's physical absence is that he becomes more intensely present in the mind of the devotee. So it's like this, when Krishna is outside, then you don't think of Krishna so much inside. You see him in front of you. And when Krishna is not outside, then he's more inside. And he comes inside. He's more internal. So often we hear that separation is more enjoyable than meeting. This is a spiritual principle in the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Why is that? Why is separation better than meeting? Who can tell me? Two lovers.
When they are separated, their intensity is so sweet.
Intensity is sweeter, okay. What's another reason why is separation more enjoyable than meeting? Yes?
Thinking increases.
Thinking increases the love. Intensity of the love. Okay, the subtle is sweeter than the gross. Okay, that's right. So then in separation you think more about the person, and so in separation from Krishna we can think more about Krishna. We can think more what he's doing, how he looks. What? Who can tell me what color the deities were wearing today? Who saw the deities, first of all? How many of you saw? And how many of you remember what color they were wearing?
Brown.
Very good. Yes, so we can think. During our day, we see them in the morning, and during the day we think, oh, I remember what Krishna was wearing, and I remember this jewelry, and how he was looking, and that. So then during the day, we can meditate, and that is separation, love and separation from Krishna. When you really feel separation from Krishna, then you see him everywhere. Wherever you look, you're thinking, oh, there's that reminds me of Krishna, that reminds me, that reminds me. But when you're seeing him in person, there's only one Krishna. But when you're separated, then you see so many Krishna everywhere. So that's one reason. Another reason why separation is better than meeting. And then after you meet, then it becomes even more sweet when you meet. So that is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, Shinjayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename. Without Govinda, without Krishna, I see the whole world is empty. But maybe the whole world is empty, but one thing is there, and that is Krishna consciousness. So when we see the whole world is empty, nothing. But we have Krishna consciousness, and that's the highest perfection. That is Shikshastika, the last two verses of Shikshastika. That is separation from Krishna, the second, seventh verse of Shikshastika. Srila Prabhupada talks about devotees in Vrindavan. They're in ecstasy and search for Krishna, his childhood associates. And it's not that they meet Krishna face to face in Vrindavan, but the devotees eagerly searching for Krishna is as good as seeing him personally. So this is, and the devotees, they get more pleasure just searching for Krishna in Vrindavan than even just seeing him. So the purpose of the seminar is to help you search for Krishna in your life. Try to see Krishna at every moment and offer that moment to him for his pleasure. So verse 40. Kime janapada svitta sapakva shativirha paradiradirambanta herandeta vavishite. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance, the trees are full of fruits, the rivers are flowing, the hills are full of minerals, and the oceans full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. So there is the universal form of Krishna, and that is how we see Krishna in this material world. And in that universal form, there's mountains, there's rivers, there's trees. Now, if there is a Krishna conscious person in the world, emperor of the world, then everything will cooperate. The rivers will be flowing without pollution. The trees will be full of fruits, and the grains will be in abundance. And the minerals will be in the hills and the oceans full of wealth. But actually, Kunti says, it is because of your glance. That's why everything, our kingdom is so beautiful. Yudhisthira was very famous for having a wonderful, beautiful kingdom. But Kunti gives all the credit to Krishna. So oftentimes when things go very nicely, we tend to take the credit. We think, yes, I'm doing very nicely, and that's why everything is happening nicely in my life. And when things go wrong, we blame God. Oh, why is he so cruel? Why is he so unkind to me? So here she understands that they don't take the credit for anything. They're just, even though they're so powerful, they're ruling the whole world, but they give the credit to Krishna. And Krishna deserves the credit. It's because of his glance. And we know at the beginning of creation that there were different elements, and at every step of the creation, Krishna's glance was required, and it's compared to an artist. So the artist, he or she paints the picture, and at the end they give the finishing touch. So what is the finishing touch to the creation? Is Krishna's glance. That's the finishing touch. Without the glance of Krishna, then we don't have this beautiful creation. And maintenance, and also destruction is coming. Did I ask you this question already? Where did destruction come from the eyes of Krishna, the glance of Krishna? Can anybody tell me? Yes, you can tell me.
Oh, no, sorry.
Okay, wrong. No, that wasn't Krishna. Krishna doesn't get the credit for that, no. There was a time when the glance of Krishna caused some destruction. That's a very famous time. It's when Arjuna told Krishna to place the chariot between the two armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Bhishma Dev says that while Krishna was there in front of the army, he shortened the duration of lifespans of the opposite party by his merciful glance. So when Krishna looked at the other army, immediately their lives were shortened, just by his glance. So if you want to be on the other side, you can get that glance of Krishna. Looking at that glance. So Srila Prabhupada explained that because of Krishna's glance, the hills are full of minerals, the grains are abundant. And Prabhupada said that she never mentioned that industry is flourishing and slaughterhouses are developing because of Krishna's glance. No, these things, Prabhupada said, these things are nonsense men have developed to create problems. But if we depend on God's creation, there will be no scarcity. So Prabhupada explained that formerly India's wealth was not industry, it was gold, silver, jewels, pearls, silk, all these things, not industry, and from the forest, the herbs, natural products. So from all countries in the old times, people used to try to go to India, from Europe, from China, from Asia, just to trade. In fact, Columbus, when he was going to discover, when he discovered America, he was looking for India, actually. He was looking for a shortcut or a different way to go to India, but he ended up in America instead. So, but now times have changed. Our opulence is not in these things, but our people think opulence is technology. In fact, in the 1970s, when I was living in India, there was a shortage of rice. In fact, our devotees in Bombay, who were doing Food for Life, they got arrested because they had over the quota of rice. You only have supposed to have a certain quota. And why was there a shortage? Because India was sending rice to Russia and trading it for weapons and different things. So India, so we had no rice. In fact, in Bombay, the devotees, they were eating this sama chawal, Ekadashi rice. They didn't have rice in those days. And so there was in the newspaper, there was a cartoon. Indira Gandhi was the prime minister at that point. And people were complaining, oh, we are hungry, please give us food. And Indira Gandhi in the cartoon said, don't worry, in 1 week you will have TV. So, and that's what happened. TV came. I remember when TV came in our village in Goa. I was in the village of Goa, in Goa, for 5 years. And when I went there was no TV. And people used to socialize, talk to each other every night. And then they got TV, and you go and see your friends, and they're just glued to the TV, sitting in front, and they won't talk to you. They're just like that, finished all the social life. And they even learned that eggs are good for you. They told me, we saw on the TV, eggs are good. Eggs are healthy. We should eat eggs. So this is the destruction of the civilization by technology. I mean, of course, we use it for a good purpose. But mostly it's being used for bad purposes, for Kali's purposes. So they don't depend on the natural things. Depend on technology. Previously, in the times of Lord Krishna and before that, the kings would eat off of gold plates and then throw them away, you know, after eating once. They considered, okay, we have our, what do we have here? Paper? Paper. That you eat and you throw. So they had gold, eat and throw. That was the opulence of the previous ages. And there was so much gold just lying in the Himalayas. When King Yudhisthira wanted to do the Rajasi sacrifice, he sent Arjuna to collect that gold, because there, in the ancient times, there was a sacrifice. Everything was gold, and King Maruta, he did a sacrifice, and he gave so much gold to the Brahmanas that they couldn't, it was too heavy, they couldn't carry it away. So they just left it, and it was still there. And so Arjuna went, and he's called Dhananjay, because he brought this wealth for the Rajasi sacrifice. And previously women would wear gold bangles, and now it's plastic and glass and so many things. So this is the age of Kali. And we have plastic cups and plastic plates and paper and so many things, instead of not even metal anymore. And in India, at least you get leaves. You get something natural. I guess paper is sort of natural. But, so this is the symptom of the advancement of the age of Kali. So now we can also get the glance of Krishna. We just go in the temple and sit in front of the deities. And if Krishna glances at you, then you become very happy and opulent and beautiful. There is a verse in the 10th canto, 13th chapter, verse 50. Lord Brahma had stolen Krishna's calves and cowherd boys, and then he saw all of them transformed into Vishnu forms, and they were glancing. And it's described in that verse that the glance of the Vishnu form created desires. It was like the mode of passion, created desires in the heart of the devotee. So if you go in front of the deities and you get the glance, then you might get some desires to do devotional service. It has the potency, if you Krishna's eyes go on you, glance on you, then you, it will create desires for devotional service in your heart. And if you see the smile, that's like the mode of goodness. So the smile of Krishna protects those desires so that you don't lose them. So this is the wonderful advantage of the deities. And also the devotees. When Srila Prabhupada was here, if we got his glance, then we could feel like he was looking through us and he knew everything. And oftentimes we would have, sometimes we would have problems, we'd fight with the other devotees. When Prabhupada came, then he would ask us, is everything all right? And we look at him and couldn't remember what was the problem. We just look at him, we forget. So that was the pure devotee can impart Krishna consciousness just through his glance, through his words, and through his good wishes. That is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the glance of Krishna, the glance of devotee, they are very, very powerful. So verse 41, now Kunti is expressing a request to Lord Krishna. Atha Vishvesh Vishvakman Vishvalote Sukeshme Sneha Pashamiman Chindhi Chiritam Vandasa Vishnuse. Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Rishis. So she's, her whole prayer is to get Krishna to stay in the Pandavas' house, her son's house, her husband's house. But if he stays with her sons, then he won't stay with her father. So she's got a dilemma here that, well, if I want him to stay here, then I'm taking him away from my father. My father won't get the association. So therefore, she was feeling torn between the two families. So she prays, please cut this attachment of affection that it is getting in the way of my love for you. So generally, she says, I'm attached to my family. Please cut off this attachment. Because without you, either this family or that family, it's not valuable at all. It's all zero. So Prabhupada in the purport, he says, a pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. The typical example is the band of six Goswamis who followed the path of Lord Chaitanya. All of them belong to the most enlightened and cultured rich families of the higher caste, but for the benefit of the mass of population, they left their comfortable homes and became mendicants. To cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a brahmana, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. So a brahmana, he sees everyone equally. If his son does something wrong, and then he will not hesitate to punish him. And if his enemy is doing the right thing, then he will not hesitate to bless his enemy even. And this is the example of Prahlad Maharaj, that his son Virochan, he came one time and asked him to tell the truth. And if Prahlad told the truth, it would mean that his son would lose his life. But Prahlad told the truth. So, and that was to the enemy. So this is a brahmana. And a king also, look at the example of Lord Ramchandra, that just for the sake of dharma, he banished Sita to the forest. So that's an example of where he gave up his ties of family affection just for the sake of his citizens, public leader, king, or devotee of the Lord. So preaching is not just to cut off, but to broaden. Those of you who are grihasthas, it's not that you leave your families, but you expand your idea of family to include all living entities. In Bhagavatam, it is said the duty of a grihastha is you have to feed any animal that takes shelter in your house. And so even Sometimes there are insects, sometimes there are... I've seen in some places in India, or even Nepal, where they feed the ants, they put sugar down for the ants. So even the ants are even they think about the ants. So this is quite broad-mindedness. So this is the purpose of Vedic civilization, so we can understand that our family is a big family, is Krishna's family. Prabhupada, he said that you are European, American, and I'm Indian. I have my family, you have your family. But now we have no more connection with our father and mother, but we are together as Krishna conscious family. So we have to have family, otherwise we will not survive as human beings. We need to have affection, we need to have attachment. But the attachment has to be in a Krishna conscious way. So Kunti is praying for pure devotional service, and we should also pray for that. If we go for the temporary things, material things, then we may lose our Krishna consciousness and still be hungry. We may still be unsatisfied even after we go after the things. And then if we sacrifice our spiritual life for the material, then we will lose both, actually. So better we sacrifice the material for the spiritual. As we said in one of our classes, you trade in the temporary for the eternal. Trade in this temporary body, these senses, for Krishna. If you use your ears to hear, your tongue to chant, then you trade that in, your temporary body, you trade it in. In America, they used to have cash for clunkers. So our bodies are like clunkers. They're not very valuable. So we can trade them in for a spiritual relationship with Krishna. And in return, we get Krishna. Krishna gives himself to the devotees. So here is talking about detachment from family. So there is such a thing as healthy detachment and unhealthy detachment. So I'd like to discuss that a little bit. What does that mean? So first I will ask you, what is unhealthy detachment from family? What does it mean if you are unhealthy? What is a symptom of unhealthy detachment? You leave them, but you always think about them. Okay?
When my son gets married, go on.
Yeah, you leave your family and then you get married to someone else. That's unhealthy detachment. Yes?
Right.
Okay.
Leave them alone.
Right. Okay.
My duty to.
Right. Okay, so she's saying when you're old, and that's a good point too. Sometimes the mother and father, even after the children are married, they still want to meddle in the children's lives. But this is healthy detachment, that we should let the kids figure out their own lives. We had to do the same. Krishna Bhavana.
If anything helping you get closer to Krishna.
Okay, unhealthy detachment means it's not helping you get closer to Krishna. Very good. You might be meditating on the very things that you're trying to give up. Yes, yes, Shilpa.
I was going to say, detaching from your family, but also having resentment in your heart.
Okay, detach. So unhealthy detachment means to detach from your family, but to have resentment in your heart.
No, to not have.
Not. Oh, that's healthy. Okay, to not have resentment in your heart. So that's healthy.
To wish them well.
Right, right, right. So sometimes we might have a difficult time in our family life and then we just leave because it's so frustrating or unhappy, and then we feel resentment. So that's not good. That's unhealthy detachment. Okay, any other ideas? What is unhealthy or healthy detachment? We're going on both sides here.
Neglect your duties.
That is unhealthy detachment. Neglect your duties. Or if it's in Bhagavad Gita, if renunciation, that is out of, if it is too troublesome, so I renounce. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada was here, there was one devotee, and first he was brahmachari. He said, okay, I want to get married. So 6 months, 1 year after he got married, wife had a baby. He said, okay, now I don't like Grihastha. I want to now be sannyas. Rabbi said, no, you have to be fixed in something. Either be fixed as brahmachari or fixed as, now you didn't want to be brahmachari, now you should be fixed in grihastha life. So, yes, so we have to know what is proper renunciation. Also unhealthy is if you do it at a very young, you're a too young age. And we sing that in our movement, that we had a lot of devotees that renounced at a young age, and then they had to, and then they got married when they were 50 and 60. So this is also unhealthy, detachment. Real detachment is to give your family to Krishna. As we described yesterday, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, I see these family members as all servants of Krishna, and I am working to maintain Krishna's family. And that is my duty. Of course, then you should worship Krishna at the same time. Okay, so next verse 42. If you have detachment, then where is the attachment going to go? She explains. Chai me nanya vishaya mati matu pate sikri mati moiva harara gangeva kamadambati. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganga forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn into you without being diverted to anyone else. So if you can have this attachment for Krishna, that is healthy renunciation. When your mind is so much thinking of Krishna that you don't worry anymore about your family's maintenance. Just like Shivas Thakur, he was worshipping Lord Chaitanya, and in his house there was kirtan every night with Lord Chaitanya, and he never worried about working or getting a job. Of course, I don't know if there were jobs in those days, but he was not worried. He had a huge family, and Lord Chaitanya said to him, you know, I don't see you doing any work. Now, how do you maintain your family? And Shiva said, no, Krishna provides. And Lord Chaitanya said, but, you know, what happens if you don't get something, you know, enough to eat? So Shiva said, okay, I'll wait one day, I'll wait 2 days, I'll wait 3 days. And if after 3 days I don't get anything, I'll jump in the Ganga and drown myself. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, no, Lakshmi may go hungry, but you will never go hungry. Lakshmi may sometime be deprived of her wealth, but you will never be deprived of your wealth. So Krishna takes care. When we give everything for Krishna, just like Dhruva Maharaj, and when he actually saw Narayan, Narayan wanted to give him the kingdom, and he actually gave him the kingdom that he desired, and Dhruva said, I don't want it anymore. Now I have you. It's much better than a kingdom. And even he got the blessings of Kuvera. Kuvera asked Dhruva, after Dhruva stopped killing the Yakshas, Kuvera, who is the treasurer of the demigods, he came to Dhruva and said, okay, how can I help you? What would you like? And what did he ask for? Just let me have association of devotees. Let me engage in devotional service. That was his desire. And so this is the perfection of pure devotional service, when all of our attention is devoted to Krishna. And so Prabhupada said, to cut off the tie of all other affection does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being must have the feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. So these things, these feelings cannot be annihilated, only the objective has to be changed. So Arjuna, Prabhupada said, he heard Bhagavad Gita, and he didn't want to fight with his brothers and relatives, but when he heard Krishna's message, he changed his decision and engaged in service to the Lord and became a famous devotee. So Kunti wants this sort of change, to serve the Lord without diversion. So Srila Prabhupada said we should try to have Krishna like Kunti, sakrit, asakrit, continuously. That we should be conscious if we are wasting our time. If one moment goes by in our day that we don't think of Krishna, that is a very great loss. And this is a symptom of bhava, of yartakalatvam. Srila Goswami said that this is a symptom. And one of my god sisters, her name was Hladini. She was using her time. She would get up at 2 o'clock, chop the wood, make the fire, for the deities in New Vrindavan, and she would do all the offerings, all the artis for Lord Jagannath. And when she was making the offering, she would make the giwiks, and at the same time, that's when she would do her reading. So during that time of offering, making giwiks and reading at the same time. And she read all the books 3 times in that way. So anybody who says they don't have time to read should take this example of Hladini. And sleeping. Prabhupada told Shudakirti that at bedtime, now I have to sleep. What a waste of time. He probably didn't like sleeping, and he didn't sleep very much. So these are the symptoms of someone who is actually serving Krishna with all his heart, that he's losing his attachment for the body. So another thing Prabhupada says in the purport is about when Kunti Devi wanted to cut off family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is cause of material bondage, but relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. Relation of the soul to soul can be established by via medium of relation with the super soul. So Prabhupada said, if you're intelligent, you should ask the question, where can we have eternal family life? Now we have temporary. Where can we find eternal family? That's Krishna's family. And Krishna is so kind. If you want family life, Krishna says, okay, I've got my family. I've got my father, my mother, my friends. And you can also come and be my friend. Why are you rotting here? You have your father and mother in the spiritual world. You have your friends. You have your relatives. You have your husband, wife. Whatever, everything is there, just waiting. And so this is Krishna consciousness. One of my god sisters, her name is Sumati. And when she first came to the temple in Washington, she walked in the door, and one devotee, another lady said to her, oh, welcome home. Now you've come home. Let me show you who is your father. She showed her a picture of Srila Prabhupada. Let me show you your grandfather. Showed a picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And here are your brothers and sisters. You come here. All you have to do is bring your toothbrush, and you can stay here the rest of your life. So she went home that night, this girl, and she decided, yes, I'm going to be a devotee. She brought her toothbrush. She went to the temple president the next day and said, I brought my toothbrush. So I want to stay here. So he asked her, okay, can you follow these 4 regulative principles? And she had been smoking quite a lot. She didn't know about the 4 regulative principles. But she said, I think so, yes, I think so. I'll try and follow. And immediately she gave up everything and became a devotee. So this is Krishna's family. When you join Krishna's family, then the whole world becomes your family, actually. I see that when traveling. You just see, okay, these people, they're just forgotten that they're related to Krishna, but they're also related to Krishna. So, and Prabhupada also said there is another ISKCON in the spiritual world. Just like a few years ago, I was at, this was the year that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj left his body, the next year. Before he left, he wrote a Vyasa Puja to Jayapataka Maharaj. He wrote a glorification. And in that glorification to Jayapataka Maharaj, he said, at the end, he said, I won't say goodbye, but I will say, see you soon. So he understood that, you know, we will all meet in the spiritual world. So it's good to try and get along now, because we're going to be seeing a lot of each other. We may be eternally together, no doubt. We will be eternally together in the spiritual world. So, in the last verse, verse 43, Kunti summarizes all her prayers. She gives us a nice summary. Sri Krishna, Krishna, Sakavishni Vishabhavani Drug, Rajanya Vamshadahana Napavalkaviriha. Govinda Kati Chasurati Haravatara Yogeshara Khila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendants of Vishnu, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode. and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the Brahmins, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. O Krishna Saka, friend of Arjuna, and Prabhupada said that you can also be Saka. Krishna wants to make you his friend. He's prepared, Prabhupada said. He's prepared to make you a friend. So he comes and he says, Bhagavad Gita, please come and be my friend. Krishna is calling us. And if you make Krishna your friend, you'll never lament. If you make Krishna your son, you'll never lament thinking, oh, my son is lost, my son has gone bad. No, you'll have Krishna. Actually, just like when Krishna played on his flute, all the gopis left everything and went to follow him. So when Prabhupada came, he called us. And we just left whatever we were doing and just followed Prabhupada. Some of us were going to college, we left. Some of us were married, we left our husband or wife. Some of us had children, we left. And we just went to follow Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada had that power that when a great acharya comes, it's described in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the autumn, description of autumn, that when the thunder comes in the autumn time, then the frogs start croaking. So when the great acharya comes, then everyone starts chanting the Vedas and chanting Hare Krishna. So that is the effect of Srila Prabhupada. That he called us. He called us to come and be with Krishna. So Krishna Saka, Rishabha, the greatest, the chief of the Vrishni dynasty, Avanidruk, he was the destroyer of those political parties. So Parittanaya Sadhanam, Vinashaya Chidushkitam. Anapavarga Virya. Krishna gave us the path of liberation. So here it's described we are on the path of Pavarga in this material world. So and Prabhupada explains there are five letters in the Hindi or Sanskrit alphabet, pa, pa, ba, ba, and ma. And pa means this parishram, this hard work. So hard that pa, that foam comes from your mouth. And ba, and at the end it's all useless. Vyartata, you work for nothing. And bha, after that, after a life of futility, you get fear. You have fearfulness because you don't know what's going to happen to you. And then finally ma, or mrityu, death. So this is the path, this is the news of this material world. So Prabhupada is giving us apavarga, which is the opposite. There is no frustration, no labor, no hard work, no foam, no frustration, no fear, and no death. That is for the path for the devotees. That's the spiritual world. Shinvanti gayanti, she says. You hear, you chant, you accept. So again, here's another way that Prabhupada translates Sarvadharma Kritaja. Krishna says very frankly, surrender to me and I will give you apavarga. I will give you freedom from this distress. He's called Govinda, Godija Artihara. He takes away distress of the brahmanas, devotees, the cows, and he gives very great happiness. If we connect with Govinda, we connect our senses with the Supreme Lord Govinda, then we'll just get happiness, because Govinda means pleasure of the senses. Govinda Mari Purusham. So he's come in the form of his holy name, and all his power is there. He can give us, the holy name can give us everything we desire. Cleaning our heart, and then finally, we understand what is our relationship with Krishna just by chanting the holy name. And finally, even after that, after we understand our relationship, then our TV in our heart is fixed and we can see Krishna Lila for the rest of our lives. Free. Of course, you have to chant Hare Krishna. You have to chant and then you will get the channel. Or you will get the channel of Ram if you're a Ram Bhakta, or if you're Krishna Bhakta, Lord Chaitanya Bhakta, you will get those channels. And if you're both Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, you will get two channels. So that is nothing, no more. Actually, my son told me one time when he was like 14, 15 years old, he said, if only I could just talk to Super Soul, I would never be bored again. I said, yes, you can. You can talk to Super Soul. You chant. You chant, and that's talking to Super Soul, and answers will come. Actually, if you hear the holy name, then you will hear what Krishna wants you to do. You will hear instructions from Krishna. It's a two-way conversation when you chant the holy name. I mean, if you're actually hearing and not hearing your mind, then Krishna will have something to say to you. So we have to listen for that when we chant the holy name. Now the last thing she says, Yogeshwara. He is the master of all mystic powers. So Prabhupada said, just like a rich man's son, he doesn't worry about where am I going to get money. So we are all Krishna's sons. And we shouldn't worry. We want something, we just take shelter of Krishna. If we want some miracle, then we have to take shelter of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said that often people say, I have done miracles in the West. He said, but I don't know any yoga city. It is Krishna's desire. Krishna is pleased that, oh, for me, this person has come to serve me. Now see how wonderful. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then we will have an upavarga virya. All the power of Krishna will be behind us. And all the mystic power and all the power of liberation and all the power, whatever you desire, it will be there for you. So I just would like to read a few verses about the holy name from the 6th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 27. It's about the Yamadutas, actually. And it's Yamaraj is instructing the Yamadutas, my dear servants, please do not approach the devotees who are always chanting the holy name. Do not go near them. They are protected by the club of the Lord. So even Lord Brahma and I and even the time factor cannot chastise them. And then he said, Paramahansas are exalted persons who have no taste for material enjoyment, who drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with Paramahansas, attached to family life, worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. So Prabhupada was lecturing in Gorakhpur, India, on this verse, on these verses, and he added a little purport to that because it was all the audience was Indians. So Prabhupada said, Yamaraj is telling, bring all those people who do not become life members of ISKCON. So everyone became life members of ISKCON after they heard that, what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada was very funny. And at the same time, yeah, also in India, he would not eat at the house if someone was not the life member, so they had to become a life member to get Prabhupada to eat at their house. He had his ways of making life members. Yeah, Lord Chaitanya said he wouldn't eat at the house of anyone who is not chanting, who is not a lakhpati, means someone who is not chanting 100,000 names a day. Okay, so the chief object, Lord Chaitanya was asked by Ramananda Roy, Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy, among all worshipable objects, what does the chief? Ramananda Roy said, the chief object, worshipable object, is the holy name of Radha and Krishna, Hare Krishna, Mahamantra. So this is the point of all the 9 processes of devotional service. The most important is to always chant the holy name. And if we chant Hare Krishna, then we can realize the prayers of Queen Kunti. We can get the mercy of Krishna. We can get the protection of Krishna. And we can please Krishna very nicely. So are there any questions or comments on these verses? Yes.
What is the name of Gadadhara?
What is the name Gadadhara mean? It's Gadadhara. Gada means club. And Dhara means to hold. So it means holder of the club. Gadadhara. Who holds the club. But it's often described. There's a verse, Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Santastena Gadaprita. In the first canto, that to Vidura, Yudhisthira was praising Vidura, that you are glorious. Wherever you go, you make it a place of pilgrimage. Because you're holding the Lord in your heart. The Lord who is holding the club, Gadadhara. And of course that is Panchatattva, the name for Gadadhara, the Shakti of Lord Krishna, Radharani, Rakini. Krishna's Shakti is the Gadadhara. Okay, any other questions or comments on these? Yes.
I think asking about the 5 letters of Hindi.
Now, yeah, the alphabet. Pa, bha, p, p, ph, b, bh, and m. Ma. It's all in the line. No, pa is prisham. Pa is phena. Phena, phena. And ba is vyartata, useless. Vyartata. And bha is bhaya, and ma is mrityu. Foam. 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 Foam is coming from the mouth if you work so hard. Yes? Oh, yeah, okay. Garland for Gideosh. Thank you. Any other question or comment? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. All of you, continue your homework of pleasing Krishna until next year when we meet again. For 1 year, you can try to please Krishna. And we'll see you next year. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai. Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.